Good morning. Have you ever been spelunking? Don't look too puzzled. Have you ever been in a cave? There we go. I always love that word, spelunking. That's the new word for Easter. If you've ever been into a cave, most of us have probably gone to a place where it's a tourist area. So someone's gone in and strung lights, and they take you back, and it's kind of safe, and you can bump your head and do different kind of stuff. I remember once in my early 20s, I went on a trip like that, and they took us way back, and as we went further and further, the lights became less and less, so much so that they were even just barely lights every, 50 feet or so. Once we got back to kind of the area that the guide had wanted to take us, he thought, he'd kind of show us how dark it was. Do you remember this, if you've ever been on one of those tours? So he says, just a minute, I'm going to turn the light off. Now, if you do the tour these days, most of us carry cell phones with us, and the minute the light goes off, it lasts about 10 seconds, and somebody gets their cell phone out, and you don't quite get the same effect. But when this happened, he turned the lights off, and it was dark. But it was a kind of darkness that most of us are just not used to. And I remember it being very disorienting. And it was so dark, and you kind of want to just make your eyes, you start doing this, you're like, where's the light? And you can't see, and then in a couple of minutes, if it goes on for a while, you get a little nervous. And then you're not sure where you are, and you start looking for something to touch and to hold. And if you've got little kids with you, not long after that, somebody's going to scream and cry. You get a little dizzy, and then you're just not sure until the light comes on. And then suddenly, you know where you are, and you find out you're standing next to someone else that wasn't there before. But have you ever been in a place like that? And maybe in your own life, you've been in places or times where it seems like that. Whereas if all the things that you would know how to find your way around have disappeared. Maybe you don't know your footing. Maybe you aren't sure where you are. Maybe you can't really tell where you're supposed to be. You might even cry because it's so disorienting. Earlier in the week, on Monday, Thursday, we heard a wonderful sermon about the Passover of God. That God passes over humanity through the actions of Christ on the cross and his resurrection that we might have eternal life. That we might go on forever, that our life that we have isn't just meaningless. In other words, that when we die, we don't just stop and there's nothing, but that there's something that goes on forever. And we heard in the sermon that we're beautiful and we're made to be these creatures of God, and then we learn to share in communion. On Friday night, for Good Friday, we heard another great sermon about the cross, and how this symbol that was a symbol of fear, of violence, of oppression in the time of Jesus is turned from that thing into something of beauty, of love. It's a symbol that we're willing to wear each day to proclaim to the world around us, I am a Christian, I am gentle, I am kind, I am forgiving, I am loving, I will help if I'm asked, and I might help even if I'm not. And we heard the story of a place in a far-off country away from us that was once occupied by communist Russia, of a hill where crosses had been placed, and week after week they were bulldozed and put down, and yet the people who had faith would go and would put their crosses made of anything they could gather so that that symbol might be seen and people might know that the cross is not something to be afraid of, but is something to be proclaimed. And then last night we gathered to light the Easter fire in the vigil. And we heard through the sermon and through the actions of our liturgy, of our faith and of resurrection, and of what it meant to be guided by the light of Christ in our world. And we carry with us today a small symbol of that fire in our Paschal candle. Now go back to that cave for a minute, that place of darkness that you might remember. It's really something when the light comes on and you can find your way. Faith is a lot like that. We carry the light of Christ into the world so that we might have an orientation. We might know where to go. It might give ourselves some meaning and a place and a direction. It might push back the darkness that might fill our lives, the darkness that might push against us, those things that we find that are evil in the world. It's light that can push that back. It's light that can tell us to reach out to those who might be in need, to clothe the naked, to feed those who are hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to share from our possessions so that others might continue to live, to give that light, that love, that Passover from God, that beautiful cross where Jesus sacrifices himself that we might be redeemed to God. That light is the light that gives us our sense of where we belong. I think of that as I go through my own daily life and how much I need that light. How scary it is when I'm not sure what I'm doing, and sometimes it might be hard to even just find the light and find out where exactly it is. But think about that for a minute in your own life. What it means to be a Christian. What it means to have that faith. What it means to have that light. If you were here last week, you'll remember it was Palm Sunday. And one of the things I always really love to do at the churches I serve is to have bagpipers on Palm Sunday. Not because it sounds like dead cats, but because it's a powerful instrument that was once used back in culture as a way of warning people of things that were to come. The bagpipes were a very powerful and enchanting instrument that were meant to scare the people that were over the hill. You see, when the apostles were going into Jerusalem with Jesus, when they were proclaiming, they thought they were going to push the Romans out. They thought the world that they understood was going to be completely changed. They thought they had a new king. And they did. But it wasn't that kind of king. And they went into Jerusalem. And then they were there. And they thought they were going to push the people who'd harmed them out, the people that had held their people down. They thought a whole new freedom was coming. And then they're in the garden. It was getting dangerous. And someone was going to come and arrest Jesus. They shared the Last Supper. And then Jesus was arrested. His closest companions, one would deny him, another would betray him. And they were scattered and frightened. The person that they loved, the person that had brought amazing healing and love and light into the world, seemed to have been destroyed. And yet, I always love this part of the story. The women who were closest to Jesus, Mary and Martha and others, went to the tomb to care for him, to watch over him. And we hear in this story that we have in the gospel from today, Mary Magdalene goes and expects to find him not to be there, but instead encounters him and sees him alive. He brought a new kingdom. He brought a new way. He turned everything upside down from what people understood, and he brought this amazing light into the world. And as we hear in our Acts from the Apostles and then Paul's letter, he shows up and keeps appearing to others and telling them the story. And they told people the story, and they told people the story, and then we find ourselves here on this day hearing the story again. And now it's our turn to pass the story on. We're turning on the lights. We're showing people a different way. We don't have to be filled with hate. We don't have to hurt others. We don't We don't have to live a life where we hoard. We get to live a life where we share, where we love, where we care, where we're willing to reach out to those who are without. That's the light that we offer the world. It's a whole new way of living. It's a light that turns on and it says, no matter how awful you think your life is, God is still loving you. God has already forgiven you. It's a light that says to those who might be crying out in the darkness in great fear that God is there and God is love. But here's the tough part of the story. You have to be the light. You need to go out into your life and in the places that you go this week, and you have to carry that light of Christ with you to share it to the world. That's the part of the story that I think we sometimes miss. But that's why we can sit here on our holiday, on this great Easter day, on this amazingly beautiful day, and can talk of our faith. We are the light shining in the darkness. So as you go forth from this day, think about your ministry. Think about the light that you are. Think about those that you might encounter this week where you can be the person that reaches out to them. It's a dark world out there, and we need the light to help us know the way. And so when the apostles encountered him, they said, "Alleluia, he is risen."
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia, he is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A little more passion, all right? The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Amen.